2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13. We'll be reading the first 10 verses of this chapter, focusing just on verses 5 through 10 tonight. 2 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. This is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warned those who sinned before and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them, since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in our dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong, that not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may have seemed to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. For this reason, I write these things while I am away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing it down. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we are coming to our close of our series of sermons on this letter of Paul to the Corinthian church. We have seen that as this letter has progressed, Paul continues to speak more and more clearly. A few chapters earlier, he spoke to them as the fool. Last time, he says very clearly, I am speaking for Christ. And tonight also, he uses as clear language as possible to implore them to live as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He challenges them to think critically about their own lives, to think about their thoughts, to think about their actions. They had claimed Jesus Christ as their Savior, but were they living as if he was their Lord, leading and guiding and directing them? That same challenge faces us today. We are those who recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior, but are we living as if he is our Lord, having a deep-rooted desire to live lives that are pleasing to God? As I said, Paul uses probably the strongest language in this letter he has used so far. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Harsh language, difficult language. Examine yourselves. And yet he says these things out of love for the congregation, desiring to encourage them, desiring to build them up. And so we too tonight will hear these somewhat challenging words that God speaks to us in his love. A call to examination. Paul says, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Now, there are times in our life when it can be very helpful to enlist the help of others to help us to make a critical evaluation of how we are living. But Paul says, Begin by looking at yourself. No one knows you better. No one on earth knows you better than you do. You can fool your neighbors. You can fool your coworkers. You can fool your friends and your family, even your spouse. But you know what is in your heart. You know the things that you set your mind on. We can fool all kinds of others, but we know the truth about ourselves. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves, Paul says. And in doing so, he's really somewhat turning the tables on the Corinthians. They were challenging him to test himself, if he were truly an apostle. He turns the tables back. You examine yourselves. And if you find that you are walking with the Lord, it is a vindication of my own apostleship. He was their spiritual father. If you examine yourselves, if you test yourselves, and you find you are living as God has called you to live, it's a vindication of my apostleship and of my ministry. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. Paul doesn't give this blunt instruction that they might simply engage in morbid introspection, that they might wallow in their own wickedness. But he wants them to honestly evaluate themselves. Are they living as God wants them to live? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Being someone who is in the faith is more than just knowing all the right doctrine. Now, doctrine is important, and doctrine is valuable, and we should seek to know the truth, good doctrine. But doctrine is that which forms the basis of our ethics. It teaches us how we should live. The question Paul's asking is, does the truth of the gospel direct your living? Test yourselves. Do you not realize this, that Jesus Christ is in you? You belong to Christ. You are His. He gave His life that you might be His. Does this motivate you to a greater desire to live for Him and to please Him? We just sang one of the most beautiful hymns of the faith, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. That fundamental truth of what God in Christ has done for us. And that gospel truth should move us toward a greater devotion to God. Let that truth shape your life, shape your faith. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Unless you find you have no desire to live for the Lord. Unless you find your devotion to Him is waning and you are becoming lax in your spiritual life. The Reformed commentator Simon Kistemaker says this regarding this text: laxity turns into backsliding. Backsliding is characterized by failing to pray, to obey the message of Scripture, to worship, to associate with fellow believers on the Lord's day. Laxity turns into backsliding. A failure to pray to God, to enjoy that wonderful fellowship with Him. Examine yourselves. Examine your prayer life. Do you look forward to that time spent with God? Backsliding characterized by a failure to obey the message of Scripture, thinking we know a better way to live than the Word of God lays out for us. Backsliding characterized by a failure to worship, to associate with God's people. How do we view coming to worship? Is it something that we get to do, or something that we have to do? Paul challenges the church. He challenges us. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. He says, I hope you will find that we have not failed the test. Difficult words, straightforward words, direct words. But very, very quickly, he follows this up with, but know this. Know this, I am praying for you. Verse 7. But we pray to God that you may not do wrong, but that you may do right. He very quickly wants to encourage them, lest they be overcome by their sin. Lest they be left in their despair. Paul says, I am praying for you. I am praying that you would not do what is wrong, that you would do what is right. I am praying, he says in verse 9, your restoration is what we pray for. A stronger, closer walk with God. I'm praying for you, the apostle says, that God may be active in you. What a wonderful encouragement to that church. The apostle himself, God's chosen one, praying for them. God continues to give us those in our midst who pray for us, who pray for our walk with Him, leaders in the church. God has given us office bearers. We talked about them in our morning services. He's given us ministers. He's given us elders. He's given us deacons. And part of their task is to pray for God's people. In the church order of the United Reformed Churches, the little document that tells us how to be United Reformed Churches, the tasks of the office bearers are laid out there. And the first task of ministers and elders and deacons, the first task listed is to continue in prayer for the people of God. The leaders of this church are praying for you. What an encouragement. They pray for us that we might continue to grow in our walk with the Lord, that we may not do what is wrong, but that we may do what is right. We may find ourselves living in a way that is pleasing to God. And Paul beautifully sets both these things out, saying no to what is wrong, saying yes to what is right. Saying no to sin and to evil conduct. Saying no to those hurtful actions that we tend to do. Saying no to those unloving words that we not manifest sin to those around us. And praying also that our hearts may change. Not simply our external actions, but that our hearts may change. That God take away the root of sin, anger, lust, envy, jealousy, pride, that all these things be removed from us. That we more and more say no to the ways of sin, and that we do what is right. Do that which is pleasing to God from the heart. A heart that desires to do what God wants, manifest that in our actions. That willingness to do things God's way, Both our heart and actions need to change. And interestingly enough, sometimes it is the case that we need to begin with changing our actions that our hearts might follow. We begin with changing our actions that our hearts might follow. We don't wait till we feel like doing what God wants us to do. But we begin to live in the way He has called us. And the more and more we take delight in the ways of the Lord, our hearts take delight in that. I think about if you wanted to be a professional golfer. You wanted to be a really good golfer. And so you couldn't get there by simply willing it. Oh, I think I'm going to be a great golfer. I really want to be a great golfer. And I just think about it all day long. No, you got to get to the driving range. You got to go to the putting green. You got to hit bucket after bucket after bucket of balls. And when you start doing that, it's not fun because it doesn't go very well. But the more and more you do it, you begin to say, hey, you know what? I do enjoy this. The more and more I do it right, and I feel that sweet spot as I'm driving off the tee, my heart goes, I do enjoy this. Don't wait until you feel like doing what God has called you to do. Start the actions now and pray that your heart might follow. Paul says, we pray to God for you that you may not do what is wrong, but that you do what is right. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. The Word of God, the truth He has given to us, is the standard for how we are to live. It's the standard for how we are to bring praise and glory to Him. It is an eternal and unchanging standard. So many things around us seem to change. Standards come and standards go. But the Word of God remains forever. Children, the standard set in God's Word for you when you're 8 years old is the same as when you're 80 years old. And the same as when your children and grandchildren grow up. God's standards do not change. And so God calls us to be good students of His Word, to know His Word, and to begin to live that Word day by day by day. Our knowledge moves us to action, and our action moves us to the enjoyment of living as God has called us to. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. These blunt words of Paul, these difficult words of Paul, he speaks to them out of love for them. His goal is not to tear them down. Verse 10, for this reason I write these things while I'm away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me. Paul says, I am right to call you to account, but I do this now that when I come, I may not have to be as severe. He says, this is the third time I'm coming. He's warned them before to conform to God's ways. He warns them to live as God has called them to. Examine yourselves, test yourselves. But he does this out of love for the people of God. And this text tonight challenges us out of God's love for us, out of God's concern for us. I have to confess, I was anxious about preaching this text this evening. It is a blunt text. It's a challenging text. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. But the goal of such straightforward language is not to tear anyone down, but rather to build up. Well, like we talked about this morning, how does Paul end this section? I don't want to be severe with the use of the authority the Lord's given me, for building up and not for tearing down. It's as if Paul's saying, yes, I'm using harsh language. Yes, I'm using blunt language. I'm calling you to account. But I do it that you might be built up, that the church might become stronger. Paul's goal is not to tear them down, but to build them up in their faith. In doing so, Paul echoes the words and the role of the prophets in the Old Testament. We think of the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 18, we read this: "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin." Harsh words. "Cast away from all your transgressions that you have committed. Make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why would you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. So turn and live." The prophets spoke bold language. The prophets spoke harsh words that the people would turn, that they would live. God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. Turn to me and live. The prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 24, we read these words: "I will set my eye on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a new heart to know that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. I will not tear them down, I will build them up." And Paul stands in that apostolic line, speaking for God. This is his desire, this is his goal, that the church grow. Yes, it would take harsh language at this point, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. But he does so, that they might recognize what God has done for them. And if they are living in a way that is disobedient, that they would turn and live. Turn and live by the grace of God. Tonight, these words come to us. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail to meet the test? As we think about our lives this past week, perhaps even just today, we know we have not perfectly lived up to God's holy will. And so once again tonight, we are not overwhelmed with our sin, but we turn to God with our sin, not wallowing in wickedness, but rejoicing in the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. Turn to me and live. That is God's call tonight. In light of these difficult words, the glorious word of the gospel. Turn to me and live. And God calls again tonight for anyone who has never embraced Jesus Christ, for anyone who finds themselves not living consistently, deliberately, according to the faith, wondering, have I failed the test? Today is the day of salvation. Today is still the day of God's grace. Turn to Him, humble your hearts in repentance, and know the truth that Jesus Christ is in you. Paul gives a difficult challenge, a hard call to the church, to be honest with themselves, to examine themselves, to examine their actions, to examine their hearts, not to tear them down, but to build them up, to encourage them, to flee to Christ, to find in Him all they need for salvation, and out of that salvation, then live in a way that is pleasing to Him. Tonight we have that same call to examination. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Do you not realize this, that Jesus Christ is in you? Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for your holy word. At times, your word comes to us softly and humbly to encourage. At times, it comes to challenge, to correct. Lord God, tonight is one of those passages. We pray that we might not be overcome by our sin. We might not leave tonight overwhelmed by what we have done, but rather be overwhelmed with your grace and your love and your mercy toward us. That amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We were once lost but now found, blind but now see. And may that glorious truth, O God, live in our hearts, that we might in our hearts and in our actions and our words bring you glory and honor and praise. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.